2 minutes after the hour, this is Black Knight Meditations, WSCA 106.1. I'm Mark, here with Top Jimmy, host of Saturday's Turn It Up Hard Rock and Heavy Metal Show here on WSCA. We are going to tag team Matt Bauer, B&M's roving metal reporter, because we're going to talk about Wacken 2011. Awesome. Now, Matt has filed reports for 2010 Wacken and 2009, and in years past, what we've done is we've gone into details, especially last year, about buying tickets, airfare, you know, flying over there, getting to the site, basically dealing with the whole massive, whatever you want to call it, called Wacken. And it seems like in the past couple of years, we haven't spent too much time on the bands. And Matt has seen literally a gazillion bands. Full sets: Helloween, Battle Beast, Ozzy Osbourne, Apocalyptica, Suicidal Tendencies, Airborne, Primal Fear, Caius Lives, Cold, Negator, Deadlock, Bullet, Suitor, Girls School, Mayhem, Sepultura, Avantasia, let's see, Hellsaw, Storm Zone, Shining, Hail of Bullets, Tokyo Blade, Towther. He also caught partial sets from Velartak, Uncle Tom, Blind Guardian, Sodom, Judas Priest, Van Canto, Rhapsody of Fire, Morgoth, Skullmold, The Prophecy 23, Serenia, Creator, Iced Earth, Motorhead, and Onslaught, and all those bands in just day one. No, gone the whole weekend. So when it comes to heavy metal festivals, it doesn't get any bigger than Wacken. And I'm glad that Matt is able to call in for the third year in a row to talk about Wacken and give us basically all the inside scoop on what it's like to attend a festival like this. Matt, thanks for calling in.
Sure, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, 3 years in a row. And before we just dive right into it, I got to ask you, have you recovered? I know it's been a couple weeks.
It is, yeah, I have. And it's pretty much what you need. You need, I'd say, at least a good week, once you go through Wacken to recover and get back to normal. But I'm good to go now. So,
all right, before we jump into the bands and talk about the 80 gazillion bands that you saw, whether full sets or partial sets, let's quickly dive into what we've talked about in years past, but in a much quicker scale of basically how you got the tickets, how you got there, how you dealt with basically getting on site. How did it start for you, and how did you get there?
Okay, starting off with where you get the tickets, there's pretty much just one place to do that. It's a website called metaltix.com, so it's metaltix.com. It's the official source for the tickets, and the promoters, even they'll put out messages saying, you know, try not to use eBay and, you know, other sites like that, because fans have gotten, bad deals with that, or, you know, tickets that aren't authentic, and they have to turn them away. So metaltix.com is where you get the tickets. And flying over there, for the East Coast, the central hub is the Newark Airport. And so you basically go through there, fly into Hamburg, kind of the central city. It's probably about an hour to an hour and a half away from Wacken itself, which is just a small farming village in northwestern Germany. And Wacken, I have to say, is one of the most well-organized, well-run metal festivals. I mean, Europe has tons of festivals, and Wacken, in terms of the organization and how it's run, is really well done. And one of the things they do is the last several years they've had a shuttle service, buses that'll take you right from Hamburg Airport, bring you right to the festival grounds right on site, and at the end of it they'll bring you right back to the airport. So that's pretty much how you get there. They got it all set up for you, and then once you're there, the buses will drop you off right where you basically where you show your ticket, and you get a wristband, which is essentially your admission into everywhere on the festival for the next, 4 days or so, the week that you're there. They'll put it on your wrist, and you show that every time you're entering different areas. And after that, then you just find an open spot on the massive campground, set up your tent, and you're good to go.
How difficult is it to find an open spot, considering tens of thousands of people are all over the place?
Yeah, it can be difficult. I think, it definitely depends how early you get there. Usually the first day of music is usually the Thursday, which is known as the Night to Remember. It's basically just an evening of music. Bands will start around 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. But the campsites, the campgrounds, I believe, are open as early as Tuesday, possibly even Monday. And so, campers can get there that early, and just kind of, you know, find a good spot in the campground and hang out for a few days before the music starts. When I've gone, I've usually arrived on the Wednesday, and I've never had any trouble finding a spot to camp. And usually, the last few years, what we've done is right kind of where you get off from the buses, where you get your bracelet, and you just beyond the entrance gates there, there's already campground space, and we've always found a spot right there, which I found is a great place because it's close to the village itself. It's close to, you know, it's not a far walk from the stages themselves, and it's a pretty good location. It's near everything, so it's quite convenient.
Do you recommend going with others, or is going alone fine? I mean, do you have a preference?
I've never gone alone. Any time that I've gone, there's always been at least one or two other people that I've gone with. The first year that I went in 2006, I was dead set on going, and I bought a ticket as soon as they were available. Didn't have anyone else lined up to go with, was going to go solo. From what I've heard, it doesn't matter if you go alone or with friends because you'll make friends
there.
That's
friends,
one of the,
right.
You know, the great things about Vakin is you'll meet people from all over the world. Everyone's there for the same reason. And, you know, some of my best friends I met through the festival. So if you go alone, it's definitely not a problem.
All right. And we should point out that, again, you have called in to do this Vakin report the last couple of years. Last year, you were a little more in depth on the whole getting there, getting back, going into a little more detail about the whole Vakin experience. That is posted on blacknightmeditations.com. Your Vakin report from 2010 still up. And it, by the way, Matt, it's still downloaded every single day. It is still posted. I will leave it up as well. This report tonight will go up in a couple days as well. And the Vakin 2009 report is not posted, but I still have it. And if anybody wants it, shoot me an email at blacknightmeditations@msn.com, and I will make sure I get that posted as well. So why don't we just go ahead and jump into the bands? Because, again, if people want to hear more details, you know, listen to the report last year. It is posted online, but let's focus on some bands now. You saw an ass load of bands, dude. I mean, I know that a gazillion bands play the Vakin Festival, but just the fact that you're able to take in so many bands, it's mind-boggling. Even though every year I check out the Vakin website, the final lineup, and it just doesn't hit me until you tell me just how many bands you saw. That, you know, there could be 100 bands playing, but if you see 50 bands, good God, you know, that's insane. How many stages were there this year?
It seems like every year they tend to add a stage. See, this year you had the two main stages, and then there's what's known as the party stage, which is still a pretty big stage set up in the main festival area, and you've got what's known as the wet stage, which is in a tent, but even that stage is still fairly good size. And then they've got this. Now I'm not sure if they had this last year. I know they had there's all kinds of extra events at Vakin. And one of the things they added in the past couple of years was a wrestling tent. And this year they had a stage in the wrestling tent. So there was a wrestling ring in the middle of the tent, and then at one end there was a stage. So they had a stage there. They've had they have what's known as the Vakinger Village, which is basically kind of like a medieval or a Viking village.
Right. Awesome.
And there's a stage set up in that area as well. And I've noticed they've even got kind of a small stage set up in the beer garden for kind of, cover bands or, you know, drinking songs and things like that. And smaller bands will play that as well. So they have stages all over the place. And, yeah, you're right. It's just a massive amount of bands, number of stages. They seem to just keep adding every year. And one of the things I was going to say before, real quick, let me jump into the bands. The approach I took this year was when you have that many bands and that many stages, you're going to have clashes where you have bands playing at the same time. And, you know, you might want to see two bands, but they're playing at the same time and you have to make a choice. And the approach I took this year was bands I've never seen or bands that I may not get the chance to see ever again, you know, that might never tour the United States or something
right.
like that. I opted to go and check them out versus maybe seeing bands that might be favorites of mine, but bigger names that I've already seen or that I know, you know, toward the stage regularly. So
it's 20 minutes after 11 p.m. This is Black Knight Meditations talking with B&M's roving metal reporter, Matt Bauer, about Vakin 2011. So let's talk bands. I got to tell you, there are a couple of bands. It seems like in years past, I've said this too. There are a couple of bands that even I've not heard of. And let's talk about a couple of those bands. First of all, Battle Beast. Who the hell are they?
Yeah, Battle Beast. The only reason I know about them is because they're actually they were the winners of the Metal Battle last year at Wacken. And just real quick, what the Metal Battle is, it's basically like a battle of the bands, but just worldwide. Before the festival, a number of countries will have a battle of the bands. The winner from each country will represent their country at Wacken on the wet stage, and it's basically just a worldwide battle of the bands. Battle Beast is a band from Finland. They're like a traditional power metal band. They've got a female singer, but the backup male singer sounds almost exactly like Udo Dirkschneider. And so they have, you know, a very accept sound to them. And I learned about them because they had won the Metal Battle from the previous year, Wacken 2010. And so I made it a point to catch them on the West Stage, and they didn't disappoint. They put on a great show. I recommend getting their album. I ordered it online. You got it from Finland. It's definitely worth it. Great band.
Cool. Well, I can imagine with just how you described them that they would go over pretty well in a place like Germany for sure. Who were the headlining quote-unquote bands for Wacken this year? I see Ozzy, so I'd imagine he'd have to be one of them. Who were the other headliners?
You had Ozzy, Judas Priest probably had the longest set of any band. I think they played for over 2 hours. Avantasia was one of the headliners, Motorhead. And then also on the Night to Remember, along with Ozzy, you had Blind Guardian, who of course are, you know, huge in Germany,
right,
as well as Halloween.
Wow. Awesome lineup. So let's talk full sets that you've seen. You did mention you've seen Halloween. Have you seen Halloween before?
I'd seen them once a few years ago when they toured the States with Gamma Ray.
Oh, I missed that tour. Yeah, right. Did you go to the Worcester show?
I did, yep.
Yeah, I meant to go to that show. I don't remember why, but I didn't make it. And I still, to this day, have not seen Halloween live.
Oh, man.
Actually, I kind of got a bad memory from that because I was going to promote the show, and I was I remember covering Turn It Up. And I was supposed to be doing an interview with the Halloween guys, and when I talked to their tour manager to put them on the air, they decided to go out to get some food, and they kind of, you know, said screw you.
Sort of.
We're not.
The
they blew off the interview.
We're hungry. We're gonna go eat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So that's the memory. That's my memory of the Halloween show that I didn't make, and I didn't even get the interview out of it. Okay.
Right.
So Halloween. What was the set like? I mean, did they focus on the old stuff? Did they perform mostly the stuff from Andy's albums? I mean, or just the Kiss albums? What was the set like?
Yeah, it mostly focused on the old stuff. They did a couple songs from the new album. They opened with Are You Metal, the single off the new album.
Right, yep.
And but one of the problems, they were plagued with some sound issues. You know, just right after they started the song, almost, you know, before they hit the chorus, or right when they hit the chorus, the sound went out. I mean, it just completely full-on, you know, sound, the monitors, speakers, all the instruments, couldn't hear anything. And apparently, I didn't see this, but I guess even the stage lights went off. It almost seemed like a complete power failure. And that was for about 5 minutes or so. They were adjusting that, came back out, restarted this, you know, picked up from where they left off, got to the same point, same thing happened again. And so that was kind of disappointing. But so they kind of scrapped that. But they moved on. They did two of my favorite all-time Halloween songs in March of Time and I'm Alive.
Oh, good song.
And they did a medley of the Keeper albums where they do Keeper of the Seven Keys, King for a Thousand Years, and Halloween.
Oh, so that's kind of cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I take it they were on the main stage?
Yep.
Okay. And crowd reaction, I guess, was what you'd expect for Halloween in Germany?
Right, yeah. And they closed with Future World and the encore of I Want Out. And for the encore, they had a giant inflatable pumpkin on the stage. So.
Right. Up the pumpkins for sure for Halloween.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another headliner, Ozzy Osbourne. I've seen Ozzy only once, and I must admit I did attend an Ozfest. This was back in 98 because I went to go see Ozzy, Megadeth, and Motorhead. And, of course, all the other bands sucked, but... so I've seen him once, and this was back when I don't know if he's still doing this, but, you know, he had some help off stage with a vocalist helping him sing, and, you know, the set was okay, but the crowd went just absolutely ape crap for the guy. It was like he was God itself. And so in Germany, you know, in 2011, how was Ozzy received?
Yeah, I thought he was received pretty well in terms of the crowd reaction, and just personally, I thought he had a good set. just reading, you know, comments and reviews and things from people after the fact, it sounded like a lot of people, you know, thought it, you know, wasn't anything special or, you know, it was boring or whatever. But, you know, it features Gus Gino on guitar,
yeah,
from Firewind.
And,
you know, he's really good, kind of breathed some life, you know, into the set. And originally when he had been announced, you know, I just kind of thought, you know, okay, you know, it's Ozzy. I haven't heard the greatest things about him live lately. And like you, you know, I'd seen him a couple times at Ozfest in the past, so I wasn't, you know, too worried if I missed him. But then when I saw the set list that he had been doing, and he was kind of throwing some older songs into the set, and he was staying away from the newer material, which I wasn't familiar with anyway, and plus with Gus G, I decided, all right, you know, I'll check him out. There really weren't any other bands playing at the same time since he was headlining the Night to Remember. Usually that slot, whoever the headliner is, they're kind of on, you know, alone. So pretty much everyone has a chance to see them. So I stayed at the main stage and checked them out. I thought he did a good set. It was all, you know, old material. I'd say the latest stuff he played was from the No More Tears album. So
wow. Nothing new
or recent, just, you know, stuck to the classics. But I thought it was a pretty good set.
I have to wonder if it had anything to do with whether or not, Vakken wasn't too long ago, so it's not like they can't say, well, we just haven't rehearsed the new material. That's not going to fly. I wonder if it's because they were at Vakken. It was a metal festival, not your typical American arena show where you can do a lot of different things, but there are going to be some metal kids, you know, as far as the eye can see, who know the 80s stuff. Because he has been doing some more recent stuff, and I know he's been pushing this last record, which I can't even remember the name of it.
Scream.
Oh, Scream.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Let Me Hear You Scream, I guess, was
the
single. Matt, what were the nuggets that he played, the sort of like, wow, he's actually doing this song? What was he doing?
I'm trying to think. Let's see. He did Bark at the Moon, Shot in the Dark, Road to Nowhere. You know, he threw a few Sabbath songs, you know, the obvious.
Right.
You know, Iron Man, Paranoid, and
War Pigs, probably.
But, you know, and then obviously, you know, Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley opened with I Don't Know, and the encore had Mama, I'm Coming Home, and finished up with Paranoid.
Yeah. Anything from other than Shot in the Dark from The Ultimate Sin, or
no? That was the only one. In previous set list that I'd seen, I think when he had a bit of a longer set, I know at one point he was doing Killer of Giants, which
would have been
great.
I was going to say that's
Killer
yeah.
of Giants. How can he not do that every night?
Right.
God, what an amazing song. And nothing from No Rest for the Wicked, which is my favorite Ozzy album.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Bastard. Oh well. See, that's why I don't necessarily need to see Ozzy Osbourne ever again, because it's like, you know, every day. I mean, the same songs off the first record, the same Sabbath songs, and then you fill in a couple songs here and there that you've already heard before anyway. So,
right.
You know, Shot in the Dark's a hit, but he hadn't actually been playing that one for a while, so I guess I guess I give him credit for adding a hit back to the set list.
Yeah, really.
You know, I would like to hear your thoughts on Suicidal Tendencies. I will say I've only been a fan of some songs. Because, you know, calling them straight up metal, that boy, is that a stretch. But
Right. Nevertheless,
they've had some pretty cool songs. They even, you know, Lights, Camera, Revolution was probably the most metal thing they ever did. And You Can't Bring Me Down. I mean, come on. How can you not like that song, regardless of how you feel about the band? What were your thoughts on Suicidal? And had you ever seen them before?
No, I'd never seen them before. And actually, I wasn't even, you know, overly familiar with them. You know, I'd heard about them. I knew that, you know, Rob Trujillo, you know, was in the band at one point,
right.
But mainly for a long time, just kind of knew about them by name. And then you know, several months ago, I picked up Join the Army, that album, so I was familiar with some of those songs. They opened the main stage, so they were on kind of early in the day. But I got to say, there was a pretty good sized crowd for them, and you know, they got some hits going.
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
My friend, one of my friends that I went with there, he thought they were, you know, one of the best bands, one of the best sets of the festival, and he really enjoyed them. So, you know, I wasn't too familiar with them, but I thought they put on a good show, definitely got the crowd going, and, they had a good set.
So you joined the Army. You joined the ST Army.
I did.
All right. You know, Apocalyptica, I've never seen them live. And I will admit, other than what, Jim, you've played on Turn It Up,
yeah,
I really haven't followed their career over the last few records, because I still know them as the band that the first couple of records, nothing but cellos. You know, obviously the Metallica cover record, the first one, and then the second record, which was even better, that had some originals and some different covers, different bands covered. But I've never really followed them when they added, you know, full band. And the songs you played, Jim, were actually pretty good off
yeah,
the last record.
I really enjoyed their last record. I thought it was great.
What kind of set did they have? I mean, were there still four cellists there plus a band? I mean, what was Apocalyptica's set like?
Yeah, Apocalyptica, I think for the most part, because I was kind of on the side of the stage, so I didn't see the whole thing. But I think it was pretty much just the cellist and, you know, they had a live drummer. And they... like you, I was more familiar with the earlier, you know, the early stuff. I've got the Metallica album, you know, Plays Metallica by Four Cellos.
Right.
And they did a few Metallica cuts. They did Master of Puppets, Nothing Else Matters, which got a pretty big reaction, crowd singing the chorus.
Oh,
and
cool.
Same deal on Seek and Destroy. Crowd kind of sang that one as well. And but yeah, I wasn't too familiar with, you know, I haven't heard much from the new album, although I think they opened the show, you know, with a couple cuts from that one. On the Rooftops with Quasimodo and 2010, which I believe is an instrumental.
Yeah,
they were pretty good. They were on at 2 a.m.
Oh,
they
geez.
Closed out the Black stage, one of the main stages.
Well, 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool show.
I guess I guess you could say that's the best music to go to sleep to at a metal festival.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
All right, let's see. We still got a ton of bands to get to. Let's. I guess maybe we should pick up the pace a little bit. But Primal Fear... I think they've done Vakken almost every other year. It seems like they're almost always there. Let me guess. Primal Fear was standard fare, exactly what you'd expect, no surprises. Does that sound like what you saw?
Yeah, pretty much. I had never seen them before, so that was one of the reasons I wanted to see them. They were on at the same time as Insafurum, but
ooh,
I'd seen Insafurum, so it was that could be a tough clash, but
yeah.
I went with Primal Fear because I hadn't seen them, and yeah, I thought they had a great set. They opened the party stage, again another early set, but still a good sized crowd in front of them, and you know, pretty much know what to expect from Primal Fear, and they delivered.
Yeah,
good power metal.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you about what were the really tough ones where you were like, I got to either see this band or that band. And I'm sure there were several of those instances while you were there. But yeah, even for me, I would totally agree with you on this one. Primal Fear and Insafurum, it's like, which one do you go to? I've seen them both, but man, that's a tough one for sure.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, Insafurum, they tour over here quite a bit, don't they?
They've toured here twice in like the last 4 years. Yeah.
Oh,
whereas Primal Fear, surprisingly, does not tour here as much as you would think they would.
Right, when did we see them? We saw them last year, right?
We saw them about a year ago. I think it was last summer, yeah.
Was it last summer?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were down in Mass.
Right.
But, yeah, surprisingly, they don't play here as much. But with it being a German band, I'm sure that the reception they got was great. And I will admit that I'm not as big on their more recent albums. I liked it when they were just a Judas Priest clone, you know,
right.
When they were like redoing when they were redoing Painkiller, stuff like that, the first like four records.
Right.
But all right, so let's talk about some other bands. I will say there's if I'm not mistaken, Caius Lives. This is basically Caius without a couple of the original guys, so they changed the name.
It's,
is that right?
It's without
right, yep.
without Josh Homm, I think, the guy who's in
Queens
Crooked
of the Stone
Vultures,
Age or
Queens,
something like
yeah.
that.
But
so
that guy.
If I'm not mistaken, Caius, I seem to recall them from like the early 90s. They weren't really a metal band, but they were kind of like stoner rock or something.
Definitely very stoner vibe. Yeah,
exactly.
And basically, they were just some of the guys got back together and were just doing Caius tunes, I guess it is.
Yeah, I think a couple of them, like, I think there's like two of them that are in Queens of the Stone Age or were in Queens of the Stone Age when they were active, and then two of them were not. And so I think the other guys that are not in Queens of the Stone Age decided to revive Caius without the other two dudes, I think. I'm not huge into it, so I'm not 100%
not
on that.
Well,
I think that's the deal.
So Matt, how was the set?
Yeah, the set was fantastic. That was actually one of the bands of the festival for me. Again, didn't really know much about the band beforehand, you know, had heard of them, never really, you know, got around to checking them out, didn't even really know about the tie-in with Queens of the Stone Age until recently and reading about it, but and they were on at the same time. Originally Cradle of Filth was going to be playing at the same time as them, but they had to cancel last minute, and Triptychon was brought in to replace Cradle of Filth. And so I thought it would be a dilemma, and my plan was I would start with Caius, you know, maybe stay for half a set and then head over to the black stage and catch the rest of Triptychon. But I know that, you know, Triptychon being, you know, Tom Gabriel, you know, of Celtic Frost, they do a lot of Celtic Frost tunes. And I was lucky enough to see them when they played in 2006. And that combined with the fact that Caius was just so good, I ended up staying at the party stage and just saw that whole set. And I mean, it reminded me a lot of, if you remember from last year, Tiamat also played the party stage at last year's Balkan. They did Wild Honey.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that. Right.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of that. It's kind of almost just like trance-like because Caius is stoner rock, and it just one song bled into the next. I mean, it was almost magic. It was a phenomenal set.
Awesome. So they were definitely one of the highlights for you, you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, let's see. We've got a ton of bands. I want to skip over. I'm going to have to skip over some of them because otherwise you'll be on the air for 4 hours. How about Girl School? How about Girl School?
Girl School was good. They opened the final day, and they were one of the bands that played in the wrestling tent. In the stage there.
Girl School in a wrestling tent. What a shock. I'm sure that was just, no, they didn't plan that at all.
I was just
going to
say,
no.
I could do so many jokes about the wrestling tent, I'm sure.
You'll laugh even more because the setup is, you know, I mentioned they have the wrestling ring in the center of the tent, and then you got the stage at one end, and they had a walkway connecting the two. So, you know, artists on the stage could just walk out to the ring and, you know, do their thing in the ring and go back and forth.
They all had entrance music and robes and waving belts
cool
in the air.
It's their one day they can be Ric Flair.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. You know, a band like Mayhem, something about a band like that, and maybe this is kind of silly, but to me, Mayhem, you just can't see outside of a club or maybe a theater, but really outside at a festival. Did that at all impact your enjoyment of Mayhem, or do you even care?
Yeah, it definitely impacted. I had never seen Mayhem. You know, definitely wanted to check them out. I think you're right, though. They would definitely go over much better in a club. And I think they're actually doing a headlining tour this fall, so
yep.
I'm planning to catch that. But
yeah, I'll be there.
They weren't bad, but they didn't like wow me. I mean, they kind of played in the middle of the day. It actually was overcast and fairly cloudy at that point, so there was no sun. But you know, it wasn't dark. You know, they were on the main stage. It was a big open air setting, and I actually a couple of the songs that I was familiar with. Looking at the set list, at least according to Setlist FM, after the fact, some of the songs that I didn't think they played were part of the set list. So either I didn't recognize them or, you know, it just kind of passed me by. But, yeah, they were kind of – I thought they would be better than they were, and I'm hoping, you know, it'll be a better experience, you know, in the club setting.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Mayhem. And I mean, you know, metal can be appreciated anywhere under any circumstance. But I think Mayhem is more of an example of a band that's more club-oriented as opposed to, you know, open-air, large festival, just something I think gets lost there. And I will say that, tying into another band I'm going to ask you about, I watched Creator set online, and I don't know if they were just going through the motions, if they were tired, but even they didn't really come across well at Wacken. What were your thoughts on Creator? I know you caught part of their set.
Right, yeah. I caught the beginning of it, and the reason was I was sort of getting a position to head over to the tent stage because Hail of Bullets was playing, kind of overlapped with Creator's set, and you know, I'd seen Creator, hadn't seen Hail of Bullets, so I was at the back of the crowd, actually sitting down, just, you know, taking a break and kind of giving my legs and back a rest. So I didn't see them on stage. There were big video screens set up, so I kind of watched, you know, the first four or five songs. You know, they sounded pretty good, but, you know, I wasn't close to the stage, didn't get a good look at them, you know, what was going on stage and stuff like that. I more or less just kind of listened to the first few songs and then headed into the tent to catch Hail of Bullets.
Oh, and, well, let's talk Hail of Bullets. Briefly, give me your thoughts. Horns up, horns down, moshable, not moshable. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'd give them horns up. Definitely, you know, had the headbanging. Again, a band that I was a little more familiar with than some of the other bands that I wasn't before the festival, but, you know, had never seen them before, you know, hadn't heard too many of their records, so wasn't well-versed in it, but, you know, just kind of that straight-ahead death metal and, you know, I guess a lot of the lyrics centered around, you know, war and battles.
Yeah,
kind of like Sabaton, but you know, more of an extreme kind of death metal.
Yeah, they're
sound to them.
It's kind of like what Gaudy Throne's been doing on their last couple of records, all about the old war, and but with a little more of an old entombed or a dismember kind of sound to their metal, and I dig them. I think their last few records have been really good.
Yeah, that Swedish death metal
stuff. Right, exactly. We got a bunch of bands we still want to talk about. So some of these bands, I just want you to give a horns up or horns down. All right.
Okay.
All right, Airborne.
Airborne, I would say horns up.
All right, Cold.
Cold, I guess I would have to say horns down. They weren't like terrible, but they really just didn't do anything for me. I listened to them a little bit beforehand. I was kind of excited by what I heard, like on the MySpace page or whatever it was. And so when I got there and watched them, they just it just kind of seemed like going through the motions. It didn't really move me at all. So I guess I'd have to do a horns down.
Negator.
Negator, I kind of same with Cold, but maybe kind of in the middle. They were a little bit better, but still kind of didn't really do too much for me.
So horn sideways.
Yeah.
All right, Deadlock.
Deadlock, I would give horns up. They were good.
Okay. All right. Bullet.
Bullet, definitely horns up. I'd only heard about them in name. Definitely plan on trying to track down their albums. They were great.
And I'm curious, how was Shooter?
Shooter was another band of the festival for me. They
oh,
were probably,
cool.
there were several black metal bands there this year, and I think by far and away they were the best. They have a monster sound, kind of that old school black metal. And they were kind of later in the evening, also in the tent. But they had a really powerful set. I really enjoyed them.
How about Sepultura?
Sepultura, I'm kind of only familiar in terms of the hits. I haven't heard really anything of the Derek Green era. And the only reason I saw them was because I was staying at the main stage to make sure I had a good spot for Avantasia. And so I kind of, I watched them on stage, heard their set. When they did, the Max era songs, it just didn't sound like Sepultura to me. So I'd have to give a horns down.
And Avantasia, Jim, I know you played them on Turn It Up a couple times. Did you ever get into them? Because I never really gave them. Tobias, I dig what he does in Ed Guy. I just never really gave it too much of an effort.
I like Avantasia a lot. I didn't play the most recent record.
Scarecrow or something like
that? No, Scarecrow was the previous. That's what I was just about to say. I didn't play the most recent one as much. But yeah, the previous one. Scarecrow it had a like Alice Cooper did some guest vocals on it. That was the one that I was really into. Yeah.
So Matt, you said they were one of the headliners.
Yeah, they did. They had an hour and a half set on one of the main stages.
Right. And I mean, Matt, that's a band you're very much into. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. They were pretty much the reason that I went back this year.
Oh wow.
And
they
were the highlight for me.
Right.
No question.
So they didn't disappoint then.
No.
Now, I know that Avantasia has done an Ed Guy song or two on a tour. Did they do any this time for Vakken?
Nope. Didn't do any Ed Guy songs.
All right. Here's a band that I'm not familiar with. I don't think I've ever heard until you told me you saw them. Ella Kolaset?
Yeah,
Ella Kolaset? Okay. All right, I'll go along with that.
they're probably the most unique band of the festival.
Shocking with a name like that.
Yeah.
The most fun. They were on the final night. They were on the party stage, and they're basically humpa band, which essentially like polka.
Right.
But what they do is it's almost like a cover band, but it's humpa versions of rock and metal classics. So they did Breaking the Law.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Jump.
The Law.
By Van Halen.
No way. Humpa Jump. Wow.
Yeah, that's what they Jumpa. Close with. And basically, the chorus
I can
is
only imagine.
So.
Oh, wow.
Sing along with that one pretty easily.
You got to get that for Turn It Up.
I got to find that on YouTube. Yeah. I'll be looking them up. That's amazing.
All right, so horns up, horns down for Hellsaw?
Hellsaw, horns up.
Oh, cool.
Another great black metal band.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to see those guys live for sure. Storm Zone.
Storm Zone, horns up. Power metal, really well done.
I'd really love to see Shining live. They were supposed to tour the States a couple times. They canceled both tours in the last few years. How were they?
Okay, I was confused by Shining, and I
you wouldn't be the first.
I don't know if there's. I've heard maybe there's two bands, both by the name of Shining, that are both you know, supposed to be black metal, or I don't know. I didn't know what to make of them at all. I wanted to catch them. I saw their whole set, and it was just kind of, it flew by. It just, and you know, the they're the ones. You know, I guess the recent album was Black Jazz, and you know, they got the guy with the saxophone, and he had it there and used it, but it was very hard to hear. I think even though it was mic'd up, that didn't come across too well, and I was just kind of left. You know, what did I just see? I was kind of blindsided by them. But
yeah, we'll definitely check out their records because they're not your typical band. They're somewhat original, and they even won a competition over in Norway where the band A-ha chose them as like they won some sort of I don't know if it's like an award or prize or whatever, but there were a lot of competing bands, and A-ha were the judges. They chose Shining, which was kind of surprising. And great band. Definitely track them down. Don't let their live performance bar you from delving further into their music. Definitely track them down for sure.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out.
All right, Tokyo Blade. Wow, I'd love to see them. I know that they're reformed, and it's, you know, not exactly 1985 anymore, but how are Tokyo Blade?
Another highlight for me.
Cool.
They played at the same time as Motorhead, so, you know, it might be a clash there for a lot of people, but I definitely feel like I made the right choice to stay in the tent and watch them. They were excellent.
I would have done the same thing. I would have skipped Motorhead to see Tokyo Blade.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's another. I think that's another situation where Motorhead does quite often tour the U.S.
Right.
So, and Tokyo Blade,
no,
not so much, or whenever, you know. I mean,
and I should say I've seen Motorhead live. Actually, I saw them back in '98 on that Ozfest, and they were terrible.
I
left their set; they were that bad.
I saw Motorhead this year, and they were phenomenal. But I saw them back in March; they were terrific.
I made it through like three songs. They were in the middle of Metropolis, and I walked away. I'm like, this is awful.
I thought they were fantastic this year.
All right, let's see. Horns up or down for one of the bands that's had so much buzz outside of the metal community, Velotech. How were they?
Definitely horns up.
Okay.
They were the first band I saw pretty much of the whole festival. They were part of the Night to Remember, but again, they were in the wrestling tent. And I only got there for to catch the second half of their set, but, I mean, they just seemed on fire, kind of that punk-infused black metal, raw sound. They were excellent.
Yeah, the record, it's funny, the record has got a kind of a differing kind of vibe throughout it. Like the first track reminded me of a mid-90s Emperor, but then as the further along you go, you hear more of that punk influence. And it's weird how these guys have had such a buzz in the indie scene, not the metal scene, but the indie scene. It's like, why this band? Why certain bands catch on in the indie scene and outside of metal, but others don't, who sound just like them? I'll never understand it, but they've definitely had a buzz about them here in the States for a while. Jim, you wanted to ask about some bands.
Yeah, well, I thought I would take a little bit over here and ask a couple of questions about the more turn it up worthy bands. So my thing is Judas Priest. I think same situation with Ozzy. Obviously, you know, a lot of talk about Priest right now. Are they winding up for their, you know, their last tour? Are they going to continue this or that? They have a different guitar player who's not an original member. So same thing as Ozzy. Was it standard fare, Judas Priest? You know, did they dig deep 70s, 80s? What did Priest do and how were they?
Yeah, Priest, they like I said, they had the longest set. So they played a lot of songs. You know, obviously, you know, they covered the classics, but they also dug pretty deep. I mean, they did Starbreaker.
Oh, wow.
Blood Red Skies.
Oh,
wow.
Blood Red Skies.
Yeah,
great
nice.
Song. Great song.
Wow.
Yep. Nightcrawler. I know they did The Sentinel, which is one of my favorites.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, all great songs.
And, you know, they did, two of the covers, the, you know, Green Man Alishi and
Diamonds and Rust. My favorite.
Both of those.
Green Man Alishi, I could go home happy every time.
And following up on what you just said, I will say Diamonds and Rust is the greatest cover in metal history. I'm going to make that statement right now.
I always go with Green Man Alishi, but that's fine.
So
Diamonds and Rust, that's fine. A great song, too. I like to hear Ripper sing Diamonds and Rust, too, but
that's
a whole other conversation, you know. But, yeah.
But yeah, go figure. Amongst the two of us, Priest have the two best covers in metal history.
Oh absolutely. And, absolutely.
But no, other than I've been looking at their set list that they've been doing, especially with Richie and the band. But you know what? While I mention it, did you detect or notice or feel any sort of vibe on the reception to Priest without KK and the band?
Again, Priest, kind of like Creator, I only caught the beginning of their set. That was one of the partial sets. Because, you know, some other, lesser-known, rare bands were playing the tent, and so I stayed for about the first six or seven songs. And then on my way over to the party stage for Caius, I got to hear, you know, the end of them, the end of their set, and do their encore. But it seemed like, you know, they were well received. You know, had a huge crowd in front of them. I read some differing reviews. Most of them I read, you know, said, you know, they were great. Had the set of the festival, and even one of the songs in the set was Turbo Lover, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, when it came out, kind of, you know, frowned on right. that song and that album. Right. And
yeah.
one of the reviewers was surprised at how much of a reception, just, you know, all these metalheads, you know, screaming the chorus to Turbo Lover.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think nowadays people have kind of forgiven that song and album. And
true.
Now
yeah.
people dig it a little bit more. But
yeah.
anyway.
I mean, yeah. I always liked it.
I've always liked the Turbo record. Yeah.
I have as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Oh, what about what did you think of Iced Earth? Horns up, horns down on Iced Earth.
Iced Earth, horns up. Again, only caught half the set, but I have to mention it was special. And you know, me and my friends that went didn't know this. I'm guessing a lot of people probably didn't know this. It was actually the last live performance with lead singer Matt Barlow.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I heard about that. That's right.
Yeah. So like we knew that this, you know, this this tour in 2011, this summer tour. That was the last one he was doing, and you know, from here on out, it's going to be Stu Block from Into Eternity doing vocals for Iced Earth.
Right.
But none of us realized that the Vakken performance was the last show on the tour, and so right before they did Iced Earth, you know, the title track Encore, you know, they kind of had like a poignant moment on stage where, you know, John thanked Matt for everything, and, you know, they kind of hugged, and people were getting choked up, and you know, it was kind of a surprise, and no one really expected it, but, you know, it was handled well, and then, you know, they just blasted into Iced Earth and, you know, finished out strong. Before that, they did, you know, the Something Wicked trilogy. So,
oh wow, cool.
Yeah, good set.
Excellent. Okay, and we were just touching on them just a little bit ago. I saw them early on their North American run. I don't know if you and I had talked about what you thought of The World Is Yours. Maybe we can touch on that a little bit. What did you think of Motorhead? And again, same as with Priest and Ozzy, was it, you know, standard fare, just the hits? What did Motorhead do?
Yeah, again, only, you know, that was another partial set. But I love The World Is Yours.
I do too.
Yeah, I thought it was a great record.
Yeah.
And they did, I think they did two songs from that one. They did Get Back in Line, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, that's the single. It's a great song. Yep.
Yep.
Makes sense.
And they also did, let's see, I can't remember if it was another single. I'm blanking on the track right now. But, I Know How to Die.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think that was like the second single.
I think that is the single, yeah.
Right, yep.
Yeah, and then the rest of the set was pretty much, you know, the hits. But, you know, they did a fairly good job of spreading it, you know, among, you know, most of their albums. So...
Right. Yeah. I think when, you know, when they were over here, they were doing like, you know, Brazil and they were kind of mixing it up. They were doing some stuff that seemed, you know, out of the way, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't see it at the time as part of the encore. They did Bomber, but I saw, as Mark said, the sets were streamed live and a lot of that footage is available now online. And so I saw when they did Bomber, they actually had the plane. Kind of, you know, above them on stage.
Right.
Oh, cool.
So that was pretty cool.
Right. Nice.
54 minutes after the hour. This is Black Knight Meditations, and we're talking with Matt Bauer, B&M's roving metal reporter, about Vakken 2011. And let's see. We still got a couple of bands. Let's blast through them, and then we've got a couple of other general Vakken questions before we wrap it up. One of my all-time favorite bands is Blind Guardian. You caught part of their set. What can you tell us about Blind Guardian?
Yeah, Blind Guardian, they were, as I mentioned, they were part of the Night to Remember. I thought they were the strongest band of that night, even though they weren't the top headliner. You know, they went on just before Ozzy, but their sound was incredible, great set list. And, I mean, just seeing Blind Guardian, you know, in their homeland of Germany, you know, with, I mean, the crowd essentially sang the Bard song.
Oh, I was going to say, the Bard song. Hit. At Vakken, I can't even imagine what it must be like to hear, I don't know, 60, 70, 80,000 people singing the Bard song, because Hanzi doesn't even need to sing it. You've got the crowd
exactly,
singing
yeah.
word for word. Oh, my God. What a religious experience that must have been.
Yeah, he starts it and just kind of puts the microphone down. So.
Yeah, exactly. Why even bother? You're not going to be able to hear him anyway over the crowd.
Yeah.
Let's see. Horns up or horns down on Thrash legend Sodom.
Yeah, Yeah, Sodom definitely horns up. Favorite band of mine. Again, one of those ones. It was kind of they were on in the middle of the day, so I was actually grabbing some food, and I was kind of in between bands at the party stage and the wet stage, but I caught the middle portion of their set, and when I saw the set list after the fact, I thought it was great. I mean, you know, they had they didn't have Oscar Bombs, which they almost always play.
Oh wow, yeah, they always do that.
Kind of glad to see, because you know, it's played a lot, but. You know, Saw is the Law, one of my favorites. Agent Orange, absolutely
love. Of course,
love.
Great song. Yeah.
They did, I think, City of God from the self-titled record. They did a few from the new one. Did the title track In War and Pieces, and as well as Feigned Death Throes and The Art of Killing Poetry.
Cool.
So yeah, they had a great sound. Again, I was at the sort of the back of the crowd and kind of watching my video screen. Didn't actually see them on stage, but one of the bands that I checked out in place of them, just real quick, was that Prophecy 23, which they were on the wet stage. At the time when I heard them, I was like, okay, you know, who is this nobody band? And I caught one of some video footage of them, and they kind of had a sound similar to Municipal Waste, you know, kind of that thrash revival.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, I love thrash, so I was like, all right, I'll check these guys out. And they do kind of have that sort of modern thrash sound, but that it was almost more like extreme or death metal vocals, and it just kind of wasn't working for me. So after a few songs, I headed back out and kind of caught the rest of Sodom. So
great.
Definitely horns up to Sodom, though.
Cool. Awesome. You know what? Let's talk a little more about Vakken in general, because otherwise we still got like 20 bands to cover that you saw. And in the last couple of years, we've talked about, you know, what the festival offers, what are on the grounds. And other than just seeing the bands, what else is at Vakken? Because it's not just a concert. It's really, truly a festival. There's so much going on. You've mentioned the wrestling tent with the wrestling ring and the medieval village. How about this? What was different this year? What did they add or change up this year as opposed to last year as far as what they offered in addition to the bands?
Yep. One of the new additions this year, they actually had comedic groups, like comedy troupes or comedy shows. I know.
I don't know why I find this funny,
Jim Brewer,
but really,
was featured.
Jim Brewer, okay.
Yeah, and wow. And then there was another. I didn't see the show, but there was this group called the Masters of Comedy, which I think was a German group that had several
MCs,
shows.
Masters of Comedy.
In the wrestling tent. So that was one of the new features.
Trying something different, I guess. Comedy at Vakken.
So wait a minute. Let me just make sure I understand this. The comedian Jim Brewer was actually there?
Yeah. Yep.
Really? Huh. That's interesting.
I'm not real familiar with this set, but I've seen him before, and you know, I know he'll do like impersonations of, you know, say Brian from AC/DC.
Yeah.
I've kind of
seen it
like
on
that.
TV. Yeah. He does like a thing where he sings. He has a band behind him, and he sort of sings AC/DC songs and like mimics some of the noises and. Huh. So is that pretty much?
So I'm guessing that's what it was.
You didn't see what he did.
No.
Oh, okay. Right. Interesting.
Wow. Well, you know, I guess I give him credit for trying something different, maybe adding another element to the experience of the festival experience. And I wasn't there. I don't know. I mean, maybe actually a comedy, you know, a guy doing a comedy routine would be a welcome relief from all the bands and all the regular routine of a festival.
Maybe.
I mean, if you're going to throw in a wrestling ring, why not a comedian? I mean, it's just weird going to a metal festival. I mean, what are they going to conjure up the ghost of Rodney Dangerfield? Hey, I had a rough day today. You know, I don't. I mean, it's like it's just kind of bizarre.
Sam Kinison doing Wild Thing with the all-star band behind him.
Right, exactly.
You know, the whole bit. And then, you know, throwing Jessica Hahn into the wrestling ring like the video, you know, that would work. That could have been it. That would have been it. They should have got a lookalike or the guy that sounds just like him there. What's his name? Craig Gass?
You know, it is midnight. This is WSEA LP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM. You're listening to Black Knight Meditations. Matt Bauer is on the line talking about Vakken 2011. And I remember one of the big things that we discussed last year, Matt, when you called in about Vakken, was that they did something a little bit different, which is kind of controversial and frowned upon from the crowd's point of view. And that was the whole the no moshing thing, the signs on the screens, the notices on the screens. Did they follow up again this year with all of that?
No, that didn't seem to be an issue at all this year. So I think because and again, like I said, you know, very well run and organized. One of the things they do at the end of the festival each year is they'll send out a survey just looking for feedback from the fans about, you know, things that were done well, things that can be improved on, you know, how they felt about certain things. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of backlash last year when they were trying to discourage circle pits and walls of death.
Ridiculous.
And right. Didn't see any of those messages this year. Cool. Didn't see anything discouraging that or anything of the sort this year. So
yeah, good move on their part.
Right.
While I understand the whole, you know, discouraging the pits, and I understand the logic. You know, maybe it has to do for insurance reasons. Maybe, you know, they got lower rates if they agreed to do that for their insurance. I don't know. But really, at a metal festival, underground bands, and you're going to say no moshing, and really? I mean, if anything, it's going to make it worse. It's kind of like, you know, like the whole thing with the PMRC and the lyrics. It's like, well, you're actually just making it more prevalent in society by doing
exactly.
this.
It's
like,
well, it's
discouraging this. It's just a bad move. So it's good right. that they actually decided not to go that route. Did they switch up how they divided up the crowds as far as in different, you know, the security barriers? Anything different there this year than in years past?
I didn't notice anything in, visibly different, but in terms of the attendance numbers that I've heard anywhere from 95,000 to 100 to possibly even 120,000 people that were there. If that was the case, it didn't feel like it. That was one of the things this year that I felt, you know, everything was spread out well. I never felt like, you know, I'm too enclosed or, you know, I can't move or it's too crowded or... I never had a feeling. I wouldn't have guessed there was that many people there if that was indeed the case. It was because they have everything, you know, so many things going on at once, and everything's just spread out in such a, you know, an expansive festival ground. You never have everyone just concentrated in one place. And I know there was a problem last year that I believe I brought up with the stage at the Wackinger Village, because they had scheduled bands like Equilibrium and Tear, who have, you know, these huge following, but the space is so limited. And when we tried to see Equilibrium last year, I mean, it was just chaos. We couldn't even get to the stage.
See, I would have made an effort to go see Equilibrium, because when else are you going to get to see them?
Exactly.
So I totally get that. You know, something I don't think we talked about in years past, do you get a sense of, now, not talking about seeing all the bands, do you get a sense of being able to take part in all that Wacken has to offer? Like, there's enough time in the 4 days you're there to do everything?
Yeah, I would say for the most part there is. And I mean, for me, it's the main reason that I'm going, especially, you know, such a long distance, is I'm going for the music. And I mean, as you can see with the number of bands that I saw, you know, I'm trying to take advantage of that and do as much as I can. But And you know, a lot of people, you know, they might only be fans of, say, a certain genre or just certain bands that they want to see. Like, I know some people be like, okay, I'm only going to see 8 bands, and then, you know, for whatever the rest of the time, you know, they'll do other things. I mean, in addition to the wrestling tent and, you know, the comedy performances and, you know, the medieval village, there's also, which I mentioned last year, but I'll go over briefly, just the metal market, which is just, I mean, vendors of pretty much anything and everything, you know, bullet belts, chains, patches, shirts, you know, and then you've got the rarities tent, which is just full of CDs and DVDs, many of which, you know, you won't find anywhere else, but this giant tent that they have set up there. So there's plenty of stuff to do, and you've got the village, Wacken Village itself nearby, which is always fun to check out. The locals, I think it's a town of like 200 or 300. And, you know, they always welcome, you know, the metalheads, and, you know, they'll sit and chat with them. You know, some of them will feed you breakfast, or, you know, so you get to interact with the locals and, you know, kind of get a feel for the village and what that's like. So, yeah, there's just a ton of stuff to do.
Now, I know that you obviously could never take too much money to Wacken because there's so much to buy. But, and I don't think we've talked about this in years past either, do you feel it's possible to go to Wacken with little or no money, other than enough to, you know, for food or drink? I mean, do you think it's possible to do Wacken for 4 days with almost no money?
You know, obviously the most expensive is the plane ticket. And pretty much once you get there, the only money, you know, the only things you're going to need money for are basically, you know, food and refreshments and merchandise. So if you want to take it easy on the merch, the food, I think, is reasonably priced, and they have a lot of I can't remember if we went over this last year, but they have a lot of variety, a lot of different things to choose from as far as the food. And one of the things they do is when you get drinks is the cup that it comes in, once you finish the drink, you can bring the cup back and kind of get a deposit. You can get a bit of a return on that, you know, for your next drink. Or if you just want to turn the cup in, you know, you'll get some change back for that. So,
That's interesting.
All right. So you feel if you're not in, if you don't want to buy merch, or if you go there, you're actually on site and you have like $5 in your pocket, well, you're screwed on food and drink. But I mean, basically food and drink is really all you need money for, and then you're fine, right?
Right. And I mean, if you do run into a situation where, you know, you think you're low, you know, you don't have enough money for, you know, whatever you might need, there are ATMs on site, and you can get, I've used them, and, you know, I've talked to other people that have used them. Usually, you know, there's no problem. I've never had a problem doing it. If you go during the day, there's going to be long lines. But so, you know, I wait till later at night and when there's no lines. And so there is money there. One of the new things they had this year, too, they had some stands in the market area where you could drop off your phone and they'll charge it for you.
Wow.
And, you know, you come back later and pick it up. Same deal
with cameras.
That's
pretty interesting.
Oh, wow.
So I think that was a new addition this year.
Wow. That's cool.
I wonder how many people go to Vaucon and think, why can't I just live here year-round?
Yeah, really.
It sounds like everything is there that you need. If you're a metalhead, why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've established that, you know, obviously there's tons of bands to see. There's plenty to do. They've got the different stages, different villages. I mean, a freaking wrestling tent. There's pretty much all different kinds of things. Have you ever, in all the years you've gone, have you ever gotten a sense that maybe the Vaucon organizers went a little too far with something? Like, they tried something, maybe a different kind of band, not your typical band, or some sort of offering, non-music related, that the festival goers just said, no, this is not what we want. Have you ever experienced that?
Not too much personally. I know. I think 2009 was the first year that they introduced the wrestling tent. And I mean, personally, I mean, I never had an interest in that, and I never bothered to check it out. You know, I'd walk past it going from stage to stage. But I did like the addition this year that, you know, they had a stage in there, and so they were able to, you know, feature more bands, and they were able to use it for that. So I liked it for that reason. But I know one of the things they've done the past few years is leading up to the festival, you know, around Christmas time, they'll do an advent calendar on the website. And each day they'll give you a clue of, you know, another band that's confirmed. And they'll do something where, you know, they pick certain letters. And if you follow throughout the month, you know, it's a jumble. And if you, you know, you arrange them, it's supposed to be a big surprise. And I think it was the year in 2009, the big surprise, everyone thought it was going to be, you know, a big band announcement or something. And it was the Bullhead City Wrestling Tent. And everyone was just kind of like, you know,
what?
what is this? You know, why do we have this? So, in terms of how it was actually received, you know, when it was there, I can't really say because that wasn't something I paid attention to. But I'd use that as an example. I don't think they need it there. I don't know, you know, how many people they have watching the wrestling matches and if it's well attended. The fact that they've kept it around for the past year or two would lead me to believe that there's enough interest that, you know, they would keep it around.
Okay. All right. And you've never seen a band yourself and thus heard the feedback or even heard about it from people who did see it, but you weren't see where the organizers went too far with a specific band that they booked?
I'd say there are a few examples of that. I know in 2008 they had kind of more of the, you know, sort of core type bands. I mean, they had Killswitch Engage, As I Lay Dying, Unearthed, all on the main stage, which, you know, you feel like they could get, you know, bigger, you know, better bands that, you know, can better represent, you know, metal and use up, you know, main stage slot. Also in 2009, there was this band, which I don't know if you've heard of, called the Boss Hoss, who I don't know if they're friends with the promoters or what the deal is, but they got main stage billing, and it's kind of like a country band that, you know, kind of does covers and, you know, might do, you know, I mean, they have their own material too, but it's much more, it's not really metal. And they were on the main stage in the middle of the day, and we were kind of scratching our heads on that one. But Coheed and Cambria was there in 2009. Huh.
Got nothing against them, but I have to wonder why they're there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, I mean, it's not my thing, and I don't know much about them, but I don't consider, you know, I don't think of them as a metal band. And
right,
you know, Vakken's, you know, has the reputation of being the biggest, you know, metal band, metal festival in the world. So sometimes, you know, you're always going to have your questionable, you know, acts, but sometimes that can work to your favor because, you know, with as many awesome bands as they have and as much as there is to do, you need time, you know, to eat or, you know, hit the bathroom, you know, grab a shower or, you know, so you can use, you know, the time when there's bands that, you know, you just don't care for, you know, you want to go grab a beer at the beer garden, you know, gives you time to do that and you're not missing anything you want to see, so.
Well, I give the organizers credit for, you know, spreading their wings a little bit, trying different things. And let's face it, 2008, I think, was pretty much the absolute height of the whole metalcore frenzy. So I guess, you know, maybe they wanted to try something, or in fact, they just, hey, it sells tickets, you know. So yeah. And plus, plenty of people in metal like the core genres. That's fine. I'm not one of them, but, you know, I get it, trying different things, or that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know,
they balanced it nicely that year because they also had Carcass and At the Gates, you know, reunions on the main stage. So,
How about you personally, since you've gone to this so many years, what is missing from Vakken, or what would you like to see at Vakken, whether it's a band, something that they offer that's not a band, or something they need to change? What do you think has not been there but you would like to see there in 2012?
I can't think of too much that they could add, at least off the top of my head. You know, if I had some more time to think about it, you know, I'm sure I'd come up with something. As far as bands, I know Bloodbath played there once in 2005. It was actually their first show, but I would love to see them. And they're a band that I feel like they tour so infrequently, the only way I would see them is, you know, at a festival like that.
Right.
You know, something along those lines. Hmm. But, yeah, there's still a few bands, you know, I'd like to see. Hypocrisy, who I haven't seen, and I mean they've played there several times, but I don't think they played there since 2004.
Since Jim's here, I have to wonder how well it would go over having some more hard rock bands there at Vakken. You know, I mean they push the boundaries of Vakken every now and then with some of the artists. Why not have? Did Motley Crue ever play Vakken?
I was just going to
say
Motley
Crue actually played last year.
Yeah. That was last year.
Cooper.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Last year was the year of Motley Crue, Alice Cooper, and Iron Maiden was there last year as well.
Yep.
Weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. They all played on the same night.
Oh, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And you said you thought Motley went over well over there, didn't you?
Well, I didn't really see them because you know, of band clashes.
Oh, okay.
And I think I may have caught a song or two in passing. They seemed to do pretty well. What I was surprised by last year was Alice's set. I mean, I've seen him before and he was phenomenal. And I don't know if it was an off day or just if it was, you know, the open air setting or what it was, but I mean, you couldn't recognize some of the songs. Fell asleep through half the set. I mean, I was surprised. It was a disappointment, but,
right.
Like I said, I've seen him in other venues and he's excellent. So
yeah,
it may have just been an off day.
Yeah. We had that conversation before about how you said, you know, Alice wasn't.
Yeah, if you're falling asleep during an Alice Cooper set, something's
not
right.
Yeah,
not good at all.
Huh.
All right. So, yeah, you know, I've never attended Vakken. Every year I'm like, oh, I got to go next year. And then, of course, I don't. I kind of like the fact that when they announced the Crue and Cooper, I'm like, that's kind of cool. You know, if you're going to stretch out a little bit, you know, that's an area I don't think too many metal. I think you're going to bring in more people that typically wouldn't attend.
Right.
You know, if you've got a Crue and Cooper headlining date, you know, that makes it a little more appealing for those who, you know, maybe somebody like yourself who's like, I don't know who these black metal bands are. You know, I don't listen to that.
Right.
But Crue and Cooper headlining, then you've got a reason to go.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of the hard rock, you know, it's definitely, I don't think it's something that, you know, they're going to shy away from. There's usually, I'd say almost every year, they've got a few kind of more, you know, hard rock acts. I mean, you know, you had Girl School this year. The Scorpions are one of the big names confirmed for next year.
Oh, wow.
Doing their final open-air show in Germany, kind of a special thing.
Wow.
And in 2006, the first year that I went, I felt like they had a lot of kind of more so hard rock. It seemed like they were kind of lax on thrash, but they had Michael Schenker Group, Scorpions were there that year also. Whitesnake was on the main stage. Motorhead was one of the headliners. And I mean, at first I was like, oh, Whitesnake, you know, what are they doing at Vakken? But they were one of my favorite performances that year. I thought they went over real well. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the current lineup of Whitesnake is pretty solid.
Oh yeah,
you know,
geez.
as
the
I can attest to, I just saw them Sunday night. So,
yeah, I that would be cool for them to do that, and I'm sure that's exactly why they did. You mentioned some of those metalcore bands a few years ago. You know, some of the biggest bands of that genre.
Right.
Hey, you get new people to come to the festival, and that's what it's about, you know, expanding, bringing in new people. Because if you just rely on the same people every year, people are going to drop off. Oh, you know, I went for the last 3 years, I can skip this year. You know, you're going to start to lose people, so you got to start bringing in, you know, different kinds of people, and I totally get it. And I know, I only know of a few bands they've confirmed for 2012, Six Feet Under, Instill, great black metal band, love to see those guys live. And now you mentioned the Scorpions. So are you going next year?
I'm actually kind of waiting to see who else they confirm. It's because I've been so many years, I've been thinking about taking a year off. And so far, everyone they've announced, I've seen before.
Mm.
So, you know, it's, right now there's nothing, you know, extra special or kind of, you know, bonus. Like this year for me, Avantasia, which is a rare opportunity because they hardly tour. You know, that was the reason that I went this year. So I'm going to kind of sit back and wait and see who else they announce. Although I read recently that they've already sold about 30,000 tickets, which is probably about a third of them. So they're going fast.
On reputation only. Well, you know what, Matt? I can give you a little bit of insider information. They're going to book dozens of bands. Dozens and dozens. I'm sure you'll find a few bands that they book that you'd be like, yeah, I'd love to see those guys live. So
I think that, you know, I mean, if it does end up being the last show for the Scorpions, I would imagine that's probably what the motivation is for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's like your one chance, and I'm sure they'd be giving a long set.
Yeah, they're godlike.
And maybe they would bring up the old guys.
Exactly. You know, they're probably going to try to get Shanker up and, you know, Uli Roth.
Exactly.
I think they did that.
Yeah,
did they do that in 06?
They did that in 2006. They had Uli and Shanker and Herman Rarebell.
Okay. So, see, I think that
they did a special set. So it would probably be something similar, I would think.
Right. The attraction of doing that again, and then what if it's, you know, the last time? I would imagine
I would imagine there'd be thousands of people who would buy tickets to the whole festival
just
for
that.
See Scorpions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially
if you got those guys back.
Another band that's been confirmed is Udo, doing a special, the Udo band, a special birthday and anniversary show. So that should be interesting.
Birthday and anniversary?
Yeah. I think the anniversary is like maybe the 15th anniversary of when the band first played Vakken or something along those lines, but it also says it's also billed as a birthday show.
Huh. Interesting. Somehow think I know exactly how it's going to sound. I mean, Udo, you know what? Boy, talk about a band, you know what you're going to get every time you hear them. That's definitely Udo, but I love them. They're great. All right. So I want to remind everybody that the Vakken 2010 report is still posted on blacknightmeditations.com. I'm going to leave that up. You want more details about getting to Vakken, getting home, all the little ins and outs of the whole process. Check out that one tonight. We wanted to focus more on the bands for 2011 since wanted to hear more about the bands that you see. And you saw a lot of them in hell. Actually, Matt, there were a few we didn't even get to that you saw. But this is going to be posted soon. Somehow I think we're going to be doing this again next year. We're on a roll. So you're kind of on that. You're kind of on the wall right now, whether or not you're going to go. Come on, you're going to go. You know you are. So you'll definitely have to call in this time next year for Vakken 2012. And, I should also point out that you've called in before to do a report on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise.
Oh,
and
right.
That's happening again. Actually, they're doing two different metal cruises, one focusing on the more underground bands, and then another one of the 70,000 tons, which have a lot of bands confirmed already.
And I can tell you I'm doing the 70,000 tons again, so I can give you another report on that.
Yeah, rub it in. Thank you very much. I mean, I said it to you when we were talking about the cruise, and I'll say it again. I think for me, I would choose the cruise over Vakken.
I can definitely understand that. For me, you know, having done both, if I had to give the edge to one, I might give it to the cruise just because, you know, it's such a unique experience. It's more you know, artist friendly, where you can just interact, you know, with your favorite bands. They're right there on the ship with you. You know, and it's also, you kind of get a vacation out of it, and it's just more convenient.
Less hassle.
You know, than having to stay in a tent. You've got a cabin. So.
Right, exactly. You don't need to find a place to pitch a tent.
Right.
You don't need to worry about mud, you know, and,
yeah.
You know,
it's,
and granted,
it's a floating hotel with performances.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, so while Vakken is, cannot be compared, I mean, nothing compares to Vakken. It is the ultimate metal experience, and I take nothing away from it. In fact, even I'd love to go to Vakken and even not see the bands, just to experience everything they offer outside of the bands.
Yeah, you just want to go to the village. And
exactly.
The metal.
Yes, the medieval village. I wanted to partake in all of that.
The merch and all of that.
And I actually want to go in a merch line and actually want to buy my stuff and then actually be crowd surfed out.
Right.
That's what I would definitely look forward to.
Yeah, you're just wanting to go to the metal marketplace and buy everything.
Oh, my God. If I could,
and, of course, you want to do the Wall of Death in the lobby of the Hamburg airport.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that, a Wall of Death in an airport. It's like Vakken's over, but it's not over. It just doesn't end. It never ends.
Exactly.
All right, so you're going to be calling back in January to talk about the cruise. That's going to be awesome. Man, I really want to go, and somehow I don't think I'm going to get to go. But that's going to be awesome. Matt, any closing words on Vakken 2011?
You know, not that I can think of. I mean, it was, again, just a well-run, well-organized festival. And got this year especially, me personally, I got an opportunity to just check out a lot of bands that, you know, I wasn't familiar with, hadn't ever seen, and you know, may not get to see again. So, you know, it was a worthwhile trip, and... You know, I look forward to any future trips out that way.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely be doing it. You're going for 2012. It's going to happen. And we'll have you back on the air next year and talk about Vakken. And then actually just a few months from now is that cruise again. Wow. It's already like six months away. Wow. Coming up.
And,
coming,
hey, you know, every year I say, well, you know, I may not go this year. And then, you know, I'm there. So.
Yeah, it'll definitely happen. And, hey, we can provide more material for other people's radio shows and broadcasts because some of the things you've when you've called in to B&M and to offer your reports, I wind up hearing this information on other people's broadcasts and shows. And I'm like, huh, I wonder how they found out that bit. Oh, right, Matt said that. That's a direct quote from Matt. So this is an educational thing that we're offering.
Oh, absolutely.
This is all very educational. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for calling in Vakken 2011. Glad you had a great time. Thanks for sharing the stories and information and what you thought of the bands. And, again, look forward to it next year. And for you calling in January about the cruise, that's going to be awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, definitely. You know, happy to do it and appreciate the opportunity to do the live reports on air. So thanks, guys.
Awesome.
You got it, man.
All right, take care, brother.
Take care, man.
All right, you too.